public input. For this part, we only have two individuals that wish to testify. And most of you are familiar with the rules of testifying. It's a three-minute time slot. At the end of 3 minutes, you'll hear a beeper. And as one that is a baby boomer and approaching the years after that, I'm learning that many of us can't always hear the beep. So I will do a visual as well. Okay. So this is not a twitch. it's probably a little bit more polite than this. So, but I've noticed when the beeps go off, and some people said, you know, due to careers or voluntary explosions or involuntary explosions, their hearing isn't what they thought it once was. So with that, I will call you up two at a time. Again, there's only two now, but this will follow in subsequent public testimony. So on this, Mr. Ramos and Glenn Johnson, please. I think. Remus? Bemis. Bemis?
Barnes.
Barnes.
Yeah, let me read it.
Okay, you do that one.
Barnes. Bruce.
And Glenn Johnson, please.
Yes, thank you. I'm Glenn Johnston. I'm a member of CCA, and there's a few of you might remember this. In the late 50s, early 60s, there was a TV program called Dragnet. And one of the detectives was very noted, Jack Webb, for saying, "Just the facts, ma'am, just the facts." So I'm going to give you just the facts. First of all, between 2013 and 2015, the fee and tax revenue generated from sports fishing license fee and excise tax was $71,721,000. And the revenue from the commercial salmon industry was $2,400,000. The surcharge paid for the Habitat program from 2008 to 2013 was $3,446,000, and from commercial licenses it was $465,000. The economic value of the salmonoid fishery is $180 million from recreational fishermen, $4.7 million from the commercial industry. I was in the financial planning business for 40 years, and I want to draw a parallel real quickly. If I own stock, 71 million shares of stock, and you own 2.4 million shares of stock, and we had a stockholders meeting, and there was a vote, who do you think would win? It should be the recreational fisherman. It should be the fish. I urge all of you, you know, I've been doing this now for 6 years, and I know a lot of you by vision, but I urge all of you to continue the fight for the fish and continue the fight for the public. It's interesting. There are 938,000 anglers in Washington State spending $13.5 million days of fishing. How many commercial fishermen are there in the state of Washington? Well, I would stretch it if we could say 100 people out on the lower Columbia. So I want to thank you for your time, and remember, just the facts, ma'am.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Barnes? And calling up Jamie Berklin, please.
Good morning, Commission. My name is Bruce Barnes. I live in Vancouver, Washington. Thanks for the opportunity to speak today. And, oh, my God, we've got a meeting in Vancouver. I don't have to drive to Olympia today. Thank you so much for that. What I'm here to talk about is our elk hoof rot problem and some of the loopholes that need to be closed in our hunting regulations. And I'll start with the hunting regulations. I don't know if you ladies and gentlemen up here know that you can buy a cougar and a bear tag in this state and hunt every season in this state without buying a big game license. So what I've run into this hunting season and numerous other ones, and it makes it very impossible for your law enforcement to enforce the law, is ladies and gentlemen out hunting for their husband, spouse, son, daughter, whatever the case may be, or themselves, until they get a big game animal, then they run down and go buy a hunting license to fill that tag. We need to close that loophole because it's cheating everybody in this room and probably anybody up in the front here that's a hunter have an opportunity to hunt. And I think that they should have a drop-dead date on when the last license should be sold. So if archery season starts on this day, everybody should have to have their licenses bought by that time. And that eliminates that problem, lets your law enforcement do their job. And if you're going to have a bear and cougar tag, you should have to have a big game license, which is going to gain your department some revenue. A lot of it, I'm quite sure. If you do the investigation of how many people in this state just bought bear or cougar tags this year, and then look at after they hunted, right, during a big game season, how many of them ran down and bought that deer or elk tag after they've harvested something. Okay, again, it's cheating everybody in this room out of an opportunity. Secondly, I just attended a hearing in Olympia this week about chemicals being sprayed in the clear cuts. There was a Russian woman that was a scientist for chemicals. And our DNR came up and did a presentation where they said that, yes, these chemicals are approved by the EPA, and they are, but there's nothing that approves those chemicals being mixed together in combination. Okay? We know that now from more research that the A and B cell in your body is attacked by chemicals. We also know by going to the last hoof rot meeting that our elk are only living to about 3.5 years old. And after, you know, let's see how many it was, 188 people drove a minimum of 50 miles and up to 4 hours in the wilderness for about 3 months, we only saw 2,200 elk from Willapaw Hills all the way out to Convoy Wildlife Refuge. Now, that should alarm everybody in this room. So, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Burns. Mr. Berkland?
I don't want to play on the numbers like, let me just go where I need to be. I'm here for the children. I've raised my kids on the fishing around here. It's very important that we get our fair share, that we go out and we do these events so that my kids aren't stuck on the video games and whatnot. I guess I should let you know who I am. I'm chapter president of the Southwest Washington CCA. I'm also on the board for Clan Line Kids Fishing. We go out and we try to educate children on how to catch fish every year at the Clan Line Pond here. I feel that's a very important job for me. I think that... If we continue to run the gill nets up this 100 miles up off the coast or on the mainstay of the Columbia River, I feel that eventually we're going to ruin our fishery for our children. I'm going to tell you a little story. My son, I taught him how to fish. We used to fish salmon, sturgeon when we could. We enjoyed having our freezer full of it. One of my proudest days when he went out with his buddy. And he caught a couple salmon, brought them home, and he was happy that he was able to feed the family for dinner. And what it's been very important to me is that we're able to do that and sustain our fishery for our children. That's pretty much all I have to say about that.
Well said, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
That brings to a conclusion the open public.